it's good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's good to feel the presence of the Lord. If you have a Bible, I'm in Leviticus chapter 24 this morning. Thank the Lord. And I'm reading out of the Amplified Translation this morning, Leviticus chapter 24, verses 5 to 7. Could I get you to stand one more time while we honor God's word and read that? Leviticus chapter 24, verses 5 to 7 in the Amplified says, "And you shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes with it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each cake of the showbread, or the bread of the presence. And you shall set them in two rows, 6 in a row, upon the table of pure gold before the Lord. You shall put pure frankincense in a bowl or a spoon beside each row, that it may be with the bread as a memorial portion, an offering to be made by fire to the Lord." Pastor Kenny, will you ask the Lord's blessing, please? Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I want to talk about bread of heaven this morning and spend a little time here. The tabernacle in the wilderness, or in the temple, there was the holy place. We've talked about this, and I've taught on this extensively here in this church. But in the outer court was the altar of sacrifice and the laver where the priest would wash before going into the holy place. And in the holy place, and there were three pieces of furniture in there, the golden candlestick, and then the altar of incense. And then over on this side would be on your right as you walked in, was the table of the showbread, or the table of the bread of his presence. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And you can see that graphic, and on the inside, we narrow it down to what we just read, 12 loaves of bread, these flat loaves of bread, 2 stacks of 6, one for each tribe of Israel. And so that's what I want to talk a little bit about that. So there's life in bread. You can actually get by on bread and water. You could live on that. Especially like homemade baked bread. There's not one person in our family, from the little bitties to the old timers, that doesn't love bread. We are bread hogs. H-O-G-G. We love bread. It's all I can do to pass the bakery at Hy-Vee and not drop $8 on a loaf of bread. It's all I can do. And I like all kinds of it. And I remember my mother baking bread a lot in those days, and coming home and open the door, you could smell it before you got in the house, and she was baking bread. How many know what that smells like? You can be as full as a tick and you still want a slice of that bread. Am I right? Ma'am? Oh, absolutely. That's in the Bible, I'm sure. I don't know where it's at, but I'm sure it's in there. But there's nothing like bread. Good bread. And that's a reason that God placed bread in here, to show us the life that is in the bread. Jesus said, I'm what? I'm the bread of life. He that eats of me will never hunger again. My goodness, what a promise. What a promise. I'm the water of life. Whoever drinks of me will never thirst again. So today I want to talk a little bit about God's prophetic word and his picture in this tabernacle of the loaves of bread, one for each tribe. God saying, there's enough of me for everybody. There's enough here for everybody. How many know that he's more than enough? More than enough. And so there were 12 loaves and 2 stacks of 6, as you've seen here, one for each tribe, or in other words, one for everybody. And it was the priest that ate this bread, and they placed on it or beside it frankincense. Now, the wise men that brought the gifts to the baby Jesus, more than one reason, I won't go down that road this morning, but first of all, Joseph and Mary had no money. Second of all, God was fixing to call them and take them into Egypt. And these wise men came by to recognize the King of Glory, but also to give provision for them to survive on the journey and to live in Egypt. How many know God's your provider? And so they brought by gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold always speaks of the kingship, of the glory of God. And the frankincense is a resin that was used in incense and other things that priests would use. And it speaks of the priestly nature of Christ. Excuse me. And then also the myrrh was a burial ointment. And it spoke of the humanity of Christ and foretold or foreshadowed his death on Calvary's cross for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of all humanity. What a miracle of miracles. So God was giving us a picture of everything in this tabernacle. Everything in your Bible points to Jesus. Jesus is God in a language that you and I can understand. In every book of the Bible, he's present there. He's foretold of there. And it was his prophetic journey to the cross of Calvary where he would lay down his life so that you and I could have eternal life. And the moment that you die, the Bible teaches us that when you breathe your last breath, you've stepped into eternity. So Paul clearly teaches to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's possible because Jesus shed his blood, A, and B, it's possible because on Sunday morning he had walked out of that grave and he is the first fruits of the resurrection, the first fruits of many brethren. And because he lives, we live. Hallelujah. So the gold symbolized his kingship. And the frankincense, by the way, not that gold wasn't expensive, but frankincense was, even in those days, very, very expensive. And those men, those magi, brought those gifts and laid them at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him. And understand, even when the people in the Sanhedrin, the people that had the Torah, the people that knew it and memorized it, did not understand what was in their midst, that Messiah had come. What a tragedy. But you know, the outcome of that is, because they were blinded and couldn't see, God turned and looked toward us and opened the door to the Gentile nations of the world. Could you say a good amen right there? And because God, who loved the world, opened the door to us, you and I, Paul said in Ephesians, who were outside the covenants, outside the promises, and without hope in this world. And I mean, that just seems so final to me, because it was, and it is. But he goes on to write through the Holy Spirit, but God, who is rich in mercy, woo! God, who is rich in mercy, made a way where there didn't seem to be a way. And he did that through his Son, Jesus Christ. So, this frankincense spoke of his priestly position as a mediator between God and man. He is our intercessor at the right hand of the Father. He is the one that prays for you and I. He's the one that pleads your cause to God the Father. And because of his sacrifice, and because of you being covered in the blood, We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Our flesh is not perfect, but God doesn't look at our flesh. He looks at the blood covering your flesh. Therefore, we can have relationship with him. And Paul says we can approach the throne of grace with boldness and walk right on in. So, if you're eating of this bread this morning, I'm talking about bread from heaven. If you're eating of this bread, then you understand what I'm talking about. And if you're eating at the Lord's table this morning, your soul is satisfied. I said your soul is satisfied. You get full. You know, it's like having a feast at your house, Easter or whatever, and you're so full. And Marilyn makes dressing normally. She didn't this year. We forgive you. We have forgiven. But she makes that dressing, and I can be up to here, and I have to have just that much more of it. Well, that's how it is with serving Jesus. Your soul can be full, your soul can be satisfied, but you always want a little more. Always want more, because the presence of God is like bread to your soul. And it is like heaven on earth when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And I love that, when the Holy Spirit moves and you can feel his presence, like there's nothing like that. Amen. So if you're eating from this table this morning, you have joy and peace in the Holy Ghost that only the presence of God can bring, that only eating from the table of God can bring. You can try. People try everything on the earth. They try everything: drugs, alcohol, sex. They try. They just try everything. Lavish lifestyles, boats, cars, vacations, whatever. Nothing satisfies like peace in Jesus Christ. Well, you could lay down at night and just have perfect peace and rest like a baby, knowing that if the Lord comes in the night, you're ready to go. Amen. So, there are people today that claim to be Christians. It seems like there's things going on in the American church that are disturbing to me. And I guess I'm kind of old school, but you know what? You cannot administrate the Holy Spirit to the back room somewhere and have success in the Spirit of God. There are people that claim to be Christians, but they're like wells with no water. They're like trees with no fruit, and they're like clouds with no rain. So let me take you back a little bit and talk about some manna. When the Lord delivered Israel by his mighty hand out of Egypt, I want you to know that Israel walked by and stood and saw all the plagues, all 10 of them. They watched it happen. They watched it. Frogs come in on the Egyptians, but there were no frogs in the houses of the Israelis. They watched the plague of flies come, and it hit the Egyptians and their cattle and everything they owned, but there were no flies in the camp where the Israelis were. They watched the water turn to blood, but it did not affect their water. They watched all of these plagues. They watched the firstborn with the Passover. God told them to be ready. And they watched the firstborn of Egypt die, and it did not affect their household as long as they were behind the door where the blood had been applied. I'm going to tell you something this morning, a little secret you already know. If you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, death has to pass you by. I'm talking about the sickness and the disease, and I know there's people that get sick, and I know there's people that have trouble, but let me tell you something. There's powerful healing in communion in the bread of life. It is life to your soul, and there is healing in that, and we take communion here regularly, and there is healing in that. Once you begin to understand, we're not just going through a ritual here. We're not just doing that because the Lord said to do it, or it's the third Sunday of the month or whatever. No, we do it because the Lord said, as often as you do this, take, this is my body broken for you. And there's healing in that. There's healing in that. So when God delivered them out of the land and they got out after having seen all of the miracles and seeing what God had done, they got out and began to complain. This was a complaining group of people. No wonder Jesus said Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. I mean, he had a pastoral headache. These people just constantly were not happy. But God heard them. And they wanted food, and they're crying about, well, we could go back to Egypt. We'd have been better off if we'd have just died down there. Let me tell you something. You put your hand to the plow of God, don't ever look back. I don't care how rough it gets. It won't be as rough as what was behind you. Stay faithful to God, He'll stay faithful to you. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. So He sent them bread. It was called manna. And in Psalm 78, David writes and said, "Yet He commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven." How would you like to have God open the doors of heaven to you? I'd be happy with just the windows open. Wouldn't you? How many know if you serve Him, He'll open the windows and the doors and pour out a blessing? I said pour out a blessing you cannot contain. That's in your Bible this morning, if we live for Him. So He opened the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat, and given them each the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. That was holy bread. And the Bible says in another passage, "Oh, come and taste and see the Lord is good." Amen? Amen. He is good. So there's another passage where David writes and said it was like wafers made with honey. It tasted good. For 40 years, they ate this angel's food. 40 years. Nobody got sick in 40 years. Nobody had as much as a head cold in 40 years. Now, this may not work for some of you, but their clothes didn't wear out. The Bible said the soles of their shoes didn't wear out. They walked around for 40 years and their shoes didn't wear out. Why? Because God gave them bread like no other bread. There is no other bread like the bread of heaven. As much as we have great bakeries, and you know, if you've ever been to St. Louis and been on the hill over there in the Italian district, they've got some old world Italian bakeries. All I can say to you is don't go in them. You'll come out broke and fat. But as good a stuff as we have, there's no bread like the bread of heaven. There's no bread offered to you like the bread that Jesus offered. And He broke the bread and said, "Here, take it and eat it. This is my body. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." There is such healing this. 40 years, nobody even had a head cold. As I mentioned, their shoes didn't wear out. It was holy bread. When we take communion, it's holy bread. It's bread of heaven. I know it's a wafer that comes out of a box or in these little kits that we use now, made in a factory somewhere. I understand that. But the symbolism is it's holy bread. We're taking it as the body of the Lord. We're taking this juice as the blood of Christ that was shed for our sins. And it is a holy moment that we do that. And we're going to do that again in the kingdom of heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's healing in communion, as I mentioned a while ago. And it's not just communion, but it's called holy communion for a reason. Because it is holy. Because He is holy. Amen. So manna was supernatural bread. And so when we eat of the Lord's body, it's supernatural. And you can read that in the Bible. It's perfect bread. When your mind is controlled by the Word of God, Satan cannot inflame your imagination. It's why it's so important. How many know this is the bread of life right here? The bread is in many forms. This is Jesus. Read this. Eat it. Consume it. And when it's on your mind and your mind is full of this, Satan cannot inflame your mind or the thoughts of your mind, because your heart and your mind has been transformed and renewed by reading God's Word and staying in the presence of God. Saying, "Well, Pastor, I work a job and I do that." Let me tell you something. If you drive 30 minutes to work each day, you can put something in your device in your car and listen to 30 minutes of the Word of God going and coming home. You'll be surprised how much Bible you can read in 5 days going to work, just an hour a day listening to somebody read it. And when you hear it, your faith will increase. Why? Because the Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so when you hear what God does, when you hear somebody reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, your faith is increased because you know if God did it for them, He'll do it for you. How many believe that? Say amen. So when you get your mind controlled by the Lord and the Word of the Lord, Satan cannot inflame your imagination. When you read their Bible, your mind begins to understand what Peter talked about when he said, joy unspeakable and full of glory. When you read your Bible and eat thereof, you begin to understand and know and believe that all things are possible to me in Christ Jesus. Could we say that together? All things are possible to me in Christ. That's very personal. Say it one more time. All things are possible to me in Christ. That's His word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, I'm going through a trial, you might think, and I'm going through tribulation, and you don't understand, and I got relatives that have broken marriages, and you know what? You can get on your knees, and you can get right on through that. And you can pray and seek God, and seek God, and He will hear you, and He will answer you. What's this banner we have up here that we have on Tuesday night prayer and Sunday morning prayer? If my people that are called by my name. Ladies and gentlemen, you've had a name change this morning. When we marry people, that bride takes on her husband's name. There are some people that don't do that anymore, but I don't recommend it. I recommend you be one and come together. But we take on, the bride takes on the husband's name. When you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, you are now called by His name. Are you hearing me today? So if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, humble yourself and pray, God says, then will I hear from heaven. Amen. 12 loaves of bread in the temple, as I mentioned earlier, it's enough for everybody. When the manna fell from heaven, how many know there was enough for everybody? It depends on who you read. Some say there was 1 to 3 million people in this group that were on this great Exodus. I don't know how many people there were, but how many ever many people there were, God knew who they were. As a matter of fact, He had every hair numbered. Not counted. There's a difference. Numbered. As in number 14, number 27, so on. Numbered. That's more detailed than counted. He knew how many people there were. He sent manna accordingly and gave it to them. It fell on the ground. It didn't just fall through the roof of their tent and land on a platter and mama just went around, here everybody, here's your stuff. No, they had to go out and pick it up. And God gives us many things, but we have to take action. We can have faith and you can believe, but you've got to do something about it. You've got to pray, and you've got to put some legs on those prayers, and you've got to go after it. And if you go after it, you'll receive it because God will bless you with it. So God is enough for everything that you're going through in life. Your dead marriage, your dead dreams, your dead hope, no matter what it is. Come to the Lord's table and break bread with Him. You know what? David said, this is so profound, that the Lord prepares a table for him in the midst of his enemies. And all the inflammation around him and the noise and the people that are seeking his life and all the headaches that he's going through and all the things that you're going through in your life, family, friends, job, whatever. And it just becomes a load sometimes. You feel like, man, one more thing and I'm just going to explode in 1,000 pieces. But you know what? In the midst of all that chaos, could you get in your Bible and read where you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies? While they're watching and gnashing their teeth, while Satan would love to destroy me, while he'd love to destroy my family and my children, my grandchildren, he'd love to take us out. I have peace like a river, as the old song. I'm sitting in the midst of all this chaos, and I'm fellowshipping with God because there is no peace besides the bread of life. He is our peace. He is my joy. And he enables me to shake this stuff off of me. Hallelujah. And you know what? He said he wouldn't put more on you than you could carry. There's always that. Marilyn's mother had a saying that I always thought was pretty cool. She said, I guess the Lord must think a lot of me because the Bible says he wouldn't put more on us than we can bear. And I have felt like lately I've had a lot on me. So take that approach. God knows you. He knows what you can take. And if you're going through hell and high water, as the old saying goes, hold on a little bit longer. There's a breakthrough coming. Amen. Hallelujah. So come to the Lord's table this morning and see, taste and see that he's good. The manna fell every day, but they had to go out and get it. They had to pick it up. Everything you need is at the Lord's table. If I could say this morning to you, all you have to do is take a seat, pull a chair up, sit down, and reach out and get a hold of it. It's that simple. The priest had to supply the table when they took that bread in there on the table of showbread. They carried it. They prepared it. I don't know who cooked it. They prepared it. They took it in there. They placed it in there. They put the frankincense on that. And then they stood there and ate. They were dressed, ready for service. And they were ready to go. It reminded me of Passover when the Lord said, you get in your house, get behind that door where that blood is. You eat that lamb, be dressed, have your belt on around your britches, have your shoes on, and be ready to go at a moment's notice. Church, could I remind us this morning that Jesus is coming back very soon. One of these mornings, the trumpet of God is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them, and we will be with the Lord forever. Somebody say forever. It's never going to end. Why is it going to last forever? Because you've been sitting at the Lord's table, and you've been eating from the bread of life, and pretty soon we'll eat from the tree of life in heaven one of these days. My goodness. They supplied that table and they stood there and ate and fellowshiped with the Lord. And that may not make any sense to you. You might think, well, my goodness. But you know, it's about hospitality. How many know the Lord is hospitable? How many know this church is hospitable? Hello? We got people in here that fry chicken. Mmm. I felt a little wave go through right there, didn't you? That's coming up in May. God's good, amen. Don't act like you don't like fried chicken. I embarrass myself and I don't care. They supplied that table, and God supplied the Israelites on Passover. Told them what to eat, when to eat it, how to get behind that door, and be ready to leave. And if you read your Bible, you'll discover that the church needs to be in that same capacity. Have your mind on Jesus because he's coming soon, ladies and gentlemen. Not a lot of people preaching on prophecy these days. Not a lot of people preaching on the coming of the Lord. Not a lot of people preaching on heaven, and certainly not a lot of people talking about hell. It doesn't sound very pleasant, and it's not a very feel-good message. But let me tell you something. When you die, you'll go one of two places, whatever you've prepared yourself for. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll step into the paradise of God. If you don't, you'll go to a devil's hell and be tormented forever and ever. There's some of them that would say, well, it's not eternal, and God's going to let them out after 1,000 years, whatever. That's not what the Bible says. You have to understand what the Bible says and live with that. And it's not my rules, it's God's rules, and you know, it sounds awful, and it is awful. But if you reject Jesus Christ in this life, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. So these priests, by the way, that's why we keep our lamps trimmed and burning, as the old saying goes, like the five wise virgins. While the five foolish were out looking for oil because they'd run out of oil, the bridegroom came and they missed the whole shooting match. I don't want that to be me. I want to be ready morning, noon, and night and have my mind on the Lord. I'm not saying you got to walk around and be super spiritual, quoting scripture. No, you don't have to do that at all. It's all about your heart. God's not like a man. He doesn't look at your stature, what your job is, or what your income is, or what house. No, he looks at your heart. And if your heart's right, your heart's right. So this fellowship in the house of the Lord was all about hospitality. And God being hospitable and the priest being hospitable and serving people. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes to Timothy and says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable. Share your bread. Share your bread. Share your testimony. Share your bread. Meryl and I ran into a guy yesterday that knew how to cuss. And we got ready to go. I said to him, I said, you know the Lord's coming soon. And he just stared at me. And I thought, okay. And I said, do you know Jesus? I'd never seen him before in my life. Oh, yeah, he's a good friend of mine. And I said, well, that's good, because you're going to need to know him before you get out of here. You won't get out of this life without him alive. And we just left it at that. But be hospitable. Just because you set bread in front of somebody doesn't mean they're going to partake of it. You just set the table. Hello? You just set the table. Set the table by faith. We used to go to Christie's when she lived over in Independence. Her and Devin was a little old boy. She'd have the table set ready for their supper. We just walk in, you know, visit, and she didn't know we were coming. And there's three plates on the table. One for her, one for Devin, and one for the husband who's coming. Hear me. Set the table by faith. One for her, one for the boy, and one for the husband that she knew God had. Set the table. If you share, become hospitable. There's so many churches that are not hospitable. I hear people say, you know, I went to so-and-so church. Nobody spoke to me. We had a young couple come here one time, Jay and Amy Epps. Some of you all remember them. The first Sunday they were here, there was another young couple in the church that invited them to lunch, and they took them to lunch, bought their lunch, and it was just like throwing a baited hook. He told me later, fine young couple. He served on our board here at one time. He told me later, he didn't mention names, and I don't want to mention, I'm not into this, and I'm not critical of anybody, but he said, we went to another church, we were there for 18 months, nobody ever said a word to us. Nobody ever, hi, we're glad to, nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, that borders on criminal. Listen, are we the family of God or are we not? Paul says we're members of what? The household of faith. We're all in the same household. Look at me a minute. We're all in the same household. We all have the same Lord and Savior. We're all saved by the same blood sacrifice. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Back in the day when I was young, everybody said, well, this is Brother Johnson. This is Sister Johnson. Some of you all remember that. That's what this is, Sister Betty. And this is, Brother Bill. So on. Because we're brothers and sisters, and that was the glue. We're all eating at the same table. And so Paul says, you know what, a bishop, and I would say this should spread out to everybody. Be hospitable. Be given to hospitality, I think the King James says. And give us our daily bread, part of the Lord's Prayer. God wants to fellowship with you, and you should want to fellowship with him. The disciples on the road to Emmaus walked along, and I think you all know this story. If you haven't read it for a while, you should go read it. After the crucifixion of Jesus, two disciples, unnamed, are walking to Emmaus. It's about a day's walk. And Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, joins them on the journey. They don't recognize him. He's asking them what's going on, and they're just kind of blown away because of all the noise going on in Jerusalem. And they said something like, "Surely, you must be a stranger. Have you not heard?" Because everybody in the region had heard about Jesus, and they'd heard about the crucifixion. Hearts were broken, and the hearts of these two disciples were broken, and they're just astonished that this guy doesn't know about this. But as they walk along, he begins to talk to them, and he begins to talk to them out of the Word of God. And you know what? You don't have to quote Scripture, or you don't have to be that dogmatic about stuff. You can just talk about the goodness of God, and it'll warm people's hearts. They may not accept it, or they may, but it will warm people's hearts. Nobody can tell your story if you just say, you know, man, can I tell you what God's done for me? I was on this journey, and now I'm on this journey. And since I've been on this journey, my life has improved. My marriage is better. My kids are happier. The dog even likes me now. So they're walking along, and Jesus is talking to them, and their hearts are just on fire for the things that he's saying. Just on fire, because he's talking to them out of the Word of God. And they get to their house, and it's the day spent, it's over, and they really lean on him to come in and stay with them. Hospitality. Hospitality. He comes in, well they sit down there to eat. Jesus takes this bread, and he breaks this bread, and he blessed it. And when that happened, their eyes were open, and they thought, oh, my Lord, this is Jesus. And then he disappeared out of their sight. And they got up so excited and walked back to Jerusalem in the nighttime. And they're talking to each other, and they're saying stuff like, how could we have missed this? Didn't our hearts burn? Isn't that what it said? Something like that. Didn't our hearts burn while he was talking to us? We were just so enamored by what he was saying and so overwhelmed. It was like, man, this guy's got something going on. And now we find out it was Jesus. And so he went back to say, hey, he's resurrected. Well, I'm here this morning to tell you he's resurrected. He is the bread of heaven. He has come down and set a table before us. And this morning that table is spread. There's a line in an old song we used to sing. I can't remember the name of the song. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. Come and dine. Thank you. Good to have old people here. Myself included. Come and dine. So I think Summit Assembly is a hospitable congregation. Thank you. Thank you for being kind to people. Thank you for getting out of your chair and going across that room and speaking to somebody. Nothing is worse. Marilyn and I have been in churches on vacation. We quit doing that. Because the last time we went on vacation, the guy got up and resigned. And it was... I know. It was awkward. And, you know, as all churches, all the good saints were in the back. So we had to come way up here and sit. And it's like, man, it was just couldn't get up and sneak out without. Anyway, it's a long story, and I'll tell you about it sometime over fried chicken. It's kind of a funny story, but it was kind of a sad day. So we said, you know what, let's just quit going to church on vacation. Unless we're in Alabama, then we'll go to Church of His Presence down there. But anyway, it was just one of those deals. But, you know, if we have the bread of heaven, ladies and gentlemen, let's share it. When we have a fellowship, we should go out of our way to invite at least one person. Come. It's not pressure. It's not church. It's not. They're not going to get preached to. It's just we're going to come and have supper, a dinner, a meal together. And you know what is incredible about hospitality and fellowship? It's where I get to know you and you get to know me and you get to know somebody back here and you get to know somebody over here and you get together and you fellowship and you talk about life, church, family, kids, jobs, and you get acquainted. And you know what? If you don't like that stuff, I got a feeling you'll hate heaven because it's full of that. Can you imagine, seriously, can you imagine sitting at the feet of Abraham and hearing about all the stuff that was not written down? Can you imagine sitting at the feet of the Apostle Paul or Peter, or somebody you never heard of from a foreign country, but because you gave a few dollars in a missions offering, you never met them, you just gave your money, and the church sent the money, and the missionary did the work, and they got saved? Can you imagine running into that person in paradise who comes to you and basically says what the song says, thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we have no idea what's in store for us. It's going to be a glorious time. We will see loved ones that have gone on. You'll know everybody just like they know you. Because of the bread of heaven. Would you stand with me, please? The bread of heaven this morning. Let's worship the Lord.